Blog Talk Radio.
Gist, and you're listening to The Gist of Freedom. Tonight we have a very special Memorial Day show in preparation for Memorial Day, which is Monday. Today is Thursday, the 24th of May, 2012. We have on the line Teddy. Teddy, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Leslie, how
Teddy,
are you doing
tonight? Could you introduce yourself?
Well, my name is Ted. I call myself Teddy Bear McQueen. I am a 12-year Navy veteran. I'm also a member of the Buffalo Soldiers Motorcycle Club and Buffalo Soldiers of Northern New York, Buffalo Soldiers Club, based out of New York.
Okay. Why, out of all the names to choose for your motorcycle club, why did you choose Buffalo Soldiers?
Well, it was actually in honor of the Buffalo Soldiers and the work and the service that they did for the black man, more or less. It was a way of honoring him for his deeds that he had done and to keep his memory alive. We found out that today most schools really, that our young folks and a lot of our senior folks also do not know the history of the Buffalo Soldiers and the significant role that they did in the building of the United States of America.
All right, let's go back a little bit before we get into depth about the Buffalo Soldiers. How did you learn, since you just made the point that, you know, the schools are not teaching?
I was actually introduced locally in a motorcycle club, and one of my members actually moved up. His name was Dennis Doc Castillo. He moved up to the Poconos. He had met the Buffalo Soldiers Motorcycle Club at a yearly gathering up in Lake George. He was interested. He wouldn't join the New Jersey chapter, and he said, Ted, I got to introduce you to these guys. I think this is something that you would like to get into. I got introduced then to a Thomas T.C. Costley, the president and founder of the New Jersey chapter, and it's now been 10 years since I have been a member. It was a beautiful thing. I was glad that I came a part of it.
Okay, and when you learn about the Buffalo Soldiers, is there one profound story you remember?
Well, I'd like to say while there's a lot of, you know, personnel or people that you can remember, there's two significant ones that really stick out. And I would say Kathy Williams being the first female that's on recorded as having joined the Army, being a Buffalo Soldier. Actually, her name was listed as Williams Kathy. And then there is the first black commissioned Buffalo Soldier being Henry O. Flipper, who went to school or was commissioned to go to West Point Academy, Military Academy.
Well, he's a favorite. I posted his picture on Facebook many weeks ago, and it was very popular. Tell us about Mr. Flipper. I think exciting story.
Well, Henry O. Flipper, as I said, he was commissioned as a second lieutenant. Like I said, he was the first black graduate of West Point Military Academy, and he actually served between 1877 and 1888. Now, what most people don't realize is that while he was the first to graduate, there was also four other blacks who was in there during the time frame. But he was actually the first to actually graduate, whatnot, and get his commissioned. After he was commissioned, you know, he was assigned to the 10th Cavalry at Fort Sill. Now, later during his commission and whatnot, and during his service and whatnot, he was later accused and court-martialed for embezzlement. And what actually transpired was that he was actually trying to cover and do the thing on his own and find what actually transpired. But still, he was court martialed and, you know, for conduct of becoming an officer in December of 1881 at Fort Sill. But, and dishonorably discharged as well in June of 1882.
Now, I read somewhere that he was responsible for a ditch.
There could have been. Now, he also, after he had gotten out, he was became a surveyor and whatnot as well. He was a translator, and he actually had worked for Senator Albert Fall and later became Fall's assistant upon his appointment to the Secretary of Interior. Now, he had also a few other accomplishments as well, but we basically stick with the stuff that we was, you know, closely related to his, you know, discharge immediately afterwards. Whatnot. Now, also what was significant about it was in 1976, his family, descendants, whatnot, and supporters had gotten together to petition that Flipper's discharge be reversed because of the due to the severity of his punishment. And in 1997, President Bill Clinton himself posthumously, I probably mispronounced that, pardoned Henry O. Flipper in February of 1999.
Excellent. Wow, that's an awesome story. Do you know of any books, movies, documentary museums that tell these stories about the Buffalo Soldiers?
Oh, yes. Actually, and it also depends on where at. Although most people know that the Buffalo Soldiers, at least the cavalry units themselves and infantry and whatnot, the 9th and 10th Cavalry was the infantry and whatnot. We have, they can actually go to the Buffalo Soldiers Museum out of Houston. Excuse me.
Take your time.
Now I'm also clearing my time. Okay, out of Houston, Texas, which case they keep paraphernalia, supply, you know, things on the Buffalo Soldiers. Now, if you wanted to get some books, whatnot, at least dealing with the 9th and 10th Cavalry during the beginning, right after they got acquired their name, you can probably check. They got Buffalo Soldiers with Danny Glover. There's also a movie, and there's also the book that was written on it. Then you also have...
You said something about Danny Glover.
Yes. That was basically, he portrayed in a movie of the Buffalo Soldiers himself. Okay. Also, now we have Buffalo Soldiers, The Forgotten Heroes, The Story of the Buffalo Soldiers by Clinton Cox. Okay. We also have Buffalo Soldiers and African-American Troops in the United States Forces by Tom Willard. And then there's Buffalo Soldiers of the Black Saber Chronicle. Okay, also, yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay, yeah.
Now, as anyone joining your motorcycle club, are there any requirements to learn more about the Buffalo Soldiers?
Well, actually, we do make it a requirement. I mean, to be... Because what we do is, like I said, we find out that a lot of schools and seniors didn't know, so we make it a point that you not only know about the history of the Buffalo Soldiers, but you also be prepared to give presentations at schools, churches, senior citizens' homes, wherever people will have us. You know, we advertise ourselves or place ourselves out that way as part of community to teach our young whatnot. So a lot of the schools will have us, you know, especially during Black History Month. They'll solicit us, whatnot, and say, hey, we'd like you to come give us, you know, tell us the history about the Buffalo Soldiers and what they did and their significance. We'll go out that way, and based upon our particular audience, we can prepare, you know, involved presentations or something light. We always make sure that at least if it's somebody like grade schools, public schools, up to middle schools, even colleges as well, we'll bring paraphernalia and leave behind, you know, as well. You know, coloring books for like small children that's maybe not able to read themselves, so they can at least color and learn as they go. Then we'll, you know, bring some short stories of Buffalo Soldiers. And all of them, of course, we're going to recommend, if you want more in-depth knowledge about it, where you can obtain this knowledge. We also got, you know, a significant amount of information on the web, you know, that you can
give
get.
Give us your website.
Well, I mean on the internet itself.
Oh,
but
okay.
Our website actually is the Buffalo Soldiers, WWW, Buffalo, New Jersey, Buffalo Soldiers, MC.
Okay.
All right.
You mentioned before they acquired their name, the Buffalo Soldiers.
Yes.
What did you mean when you said that?
All right. Initially, the most blacks were just considered as Negro cavalry, or United States troops, more or less. When they fought, actually, they was brought in during the peacetime, but the whole purpose was they was fighting the Indian Wars for the most part. And it was the Buffalo, the Indians who actually nicknamed them Buffalo Soldiers, whatnot. And they did it based on the similar, besides being black, whatnot, okay, the buffalo was darker than the woolly hair, then they looked at, you know, the soldiers, then woolly hair. But they also was like, okay, this is a different type of fighting man that's coming after us. It's unlike the white soldiers or those soldiers who was basically the 7th Cavalry, which is basically like depicted with John Wayne movies type deal, which was 7th Cavalry. But what the significance was also was that when the 9th and 10th got in that way, they said, okay, we were told to not only to corral you or to fight against you, but we also are here to escort you and safeguard you. You know, we're not here to massacre you per se. So they showed a different type of, you know, spirit. And then it was like a bit of a kindred, because at the same time, a lot of black soldiers, those who was, you know, disappearing or deserting during the Civil War before the Buffalo Soldiers troop got incorporated or, you know, commissioned to actually come aboard, they started mixing with the Indians. So they had interracial marriages that way.
So when did this all take place, this incorporation?
Okay, in 1865, Congress decided that they had to do something basically with all the blacks that were still in, that had served during the Civil War. The war is now basically over. So they said, we're going to form, and basically from the impact or the impression that they gave, the work that they did during the Civil War, more or less, they got recognized and said, hey, we got a fighting force here. We need to do something with it. So they formed actually 6 regiments, being the 9th and 10th Infantry, the 24th, 25th, the 30th, and 31st.
Wow.
I'm sorry. It's 38th, 41st, 39th, and 40th.
Okay. Infantry. The Trail of Tears. Are you familiar with the Trail of Tears?
No, I can't say that. Okay. No, I'm not.
All right. Any other stories about their relationship with the Native Americans you want to share?
I guess actually stemming from the Buffalo Soldiers being recognized, and from all the military forces, or basically all the force services that we have now, and through from that time, all blacks was considered as Buffalo Soldiers, regardless. They was considered as Buffalo Soldiers, and it wasn't until the Tuskegee Airmen came aboard and got recognized being now a whole troop of black commissioned officers out of the Army Air Corps, then it started breaking off. But from the Buffalo Soldiers starting, then it opened up for more blacks and organizations to be recognized. Like I said, the Tuskegee Airmen, you get the Triple Nickels, whatnot, and they was the first.
Wait, slow down. What is a Triple Nickel?
Okay. It was, I don't want to mispronounce it. It should be, we refer to it as a Triple Nickel, but it was the 555th. Infantry or company, whatnot. They was comprised of all black paratroopers, and this
now
was
why
based.
Why haven't we heard about them?
The Tuskegee Airmen came in during World War II. So did the Triple Nickels. Basically, they was being trained to fight and parachute over in Germany as well. But before they actually got there, the war had ended. They actually served stateside on the West Coast, and they was the firefighters out there on the West Coast. Became that way. And like I said, most people didn't know about it, but it was like the first all-black group.
Wow. Are there any books or movies, documentaries, museums about the Triple Nickel?
Other than the internet information, and you might find a few books, whatnot, on it, I didn't, like, keep track because I just basically was concentrating on the Buffalo Soldiers' history, but I had learned through it what had transpired as far as all different groups as well. Like I said, the Triple Nickel was a paratrooper group. But then there was also, and is not really known, was an all-black ship, Navy ship, called the USS Mason. They recently, a few years back, actually had made a movie of it, in which case Ossie Davis had played the starring role in it. And it was also based on World War II.
Give us the name of that ship.
Okay, the ship is actually the USS Mason, and it was the first to have an all-black crew. Like the Buffalo Soldiers, the ranking officers, of course, was white, but the majority of the ship's crew in whole was black. And the movie is actually called Proud.
Wow. You're giving us some excellent information. I'm writing everything down. Now, you mentioned the schools aren't doing anything as far as teaching about the Buffalo Soldiers and the Triple Nickels.
Right. Well, usually,
as a serviceman,
right,
when you were in the service, did they teach you the history of the service, period? And if they did they go into the African-American contributions?
No, but since I was actually Navy myself, what they did point out, excuse me, was a few of the prominent black success stories. And actually, I can't think of it right now, but there was a movie, Men of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Cuba.
Right. He played that role, and actually it became a film, not so much, but the actual who he was based on, the character he was based on, was like an inspiration to the members of, you know, in the Navy, whatnot, about what you could actually do and his significance, whatnot, you know, being an amputee, more or less, you know. And it's not too much, but like I said, they had the first of admirals that may have come along, the first admirals that was, you know, commissioned in the Navy, whatnot. Then a few other officers, they might linger or go into, like, Air Force, or depending. But since we were Navy, we basically was concentrating on the significance, you know, of blacks in the Navy, more or less.
Were there any black organizations that you could join while you were in and now that you're out?
Well, then I didn't think about it, and it didn't come up. And, like I said, for the most part, Buffalo Soldiers, other than maybe a quick movie here and there, which really didn't focus on Buffalo Soldiers per se, it might have been like, you know, a lone soldier, you know, but a few of the old black and white TV series might mention one or two, and you might know it. But there was no real teaching of it, of Buffalo Soldiers or their real history and whatnot. And I learned all of this basically from the time I joined the motorcycle club and started learning. I'm like, if somebody questions me or whatnot, and a lot of people would question us, and they'd see Buffalo on it, and they wouldn't go down. The eyes were just focused on the Buffalo on the back of our vest. And they, oh, you're from Buffalo? No, we're representing Buffalo Soldiers. And then once they realize, oh, the motorcycle club, you know, I thought you was from Buffalo, New York. No, I'm sorry. And then they go into it, and, you know, well, you know, Buffalo's was here, Buffalo Soldiers was there. And actually, General Colin Powell played a significant role in the helping of the Buffalo Soldier Monument that was erected at Fort Leavenworth.
Mm-hmm. Give us much information about that monument, and have you been there yet?
Yes, we did. Actually, right after, I think within 2 years of me joining the Buffalo Soldiers, my chapter, New Jersey, had headed up a retrace, or it was like a pilgrimage to Fort Leavenworth itself, to actually see the Buffalo Soldiers Monument, and the area in which case the monument is erected was actually, we considered it as hollow ground. We made it hollow ground when we went there. We actually had the ashes of an actual Buffalo Soldier who had recently died, you know, and we buried his ashes on the site, making it a hollow ground. But the ground itself in the monument was actually where the Buffalo Soldiers that were stationed there was actually stationed at and served. They didn't have cabins built for them. They had to erect their own sleeping quarters, and basically it was tents. But they slept on the ground itself, unlike the other soldiers or the white soldiers at that time, who actually had buildings with four walls and a roof on top. They did not at that time.
Terrible. Now, when I hear 11th Ward, I think of a prison.
Yes. Well, it is basically the major United States Army prison. But it also served as one of the starting forts in which the Buffalo Soldiers had served and
so
was
you're
stationed
out
of.
Did they convert the Buffalo Soldiers, what would you call it, place into a prison?
Oh, no, no, no,
no. Came
no.
First?
The fort was there. Fort Leavenworth was always there.
It was always a prison.
Right. Now, it was regular fort before they decided to make it into a prison, but it's still an actual military base. It's just that Buffalo Soldiers happened to have served there at one point.
Before they converted into a prison.
Yeah. Well, yes. We'll do it, say it that way. Before it actually became a prison overall, a military prison, it was an actual operating military fort.
Well, why I ask you that is because I'm finding that when I do a lot of these interviews, that many of our historical sites have been transformed to prisons.
Oh.
So this is a pattern when it comes to our historical sites. So that's where the monument, is that the only monument?
No, actually there are other sites where monuments are also erected. And it all depends on where you want to go, how far you want it to travel.
Let's go with a place that's child-friendly, family-friendly, because it's very important the kids learn. Do you have any recommendations where we can take our families, you know, during vacations, family trips, cookouts? Family reunions?
Okay, I'm trying to think of one. Other than the Fort Leavenworth, like I said, but basically it's almost like military personnel that's going on the base because it's still a base and, you know, it's still got restrictions going up on it.
Gotcha.
You also had the Buffalo Soldiers Museum, which I said was out of Houston, Texas. All right. There's also a few other monuments. There's one out of Fort Bliss, El Paso, Texas. Then there's one at Fort at Warren Air Force Base in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Okay.
All right.
Warren.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Another thing, which is West Point Military Academy here in New York, up in the New Falls area. All right. They also have, well, it's not so much as they tried to change it, but they have a monument there in history as well, whereas the soldiers that were stationed there. And we actually have one that we have as an honorary member of my local club of the Henry O. Flipper Regiment, which, you know, we named ourselves after Henry O. Flipper being stationed there at West Point. But they have, as soon as you walk through the main gate, there's a monument or Buffalo Soldiers Field, where the Buffalo Soldiers that were stationed there, they actually taught the cadets during the time frame, during that particular time, the horsemanship that they know now. Up until the end of basically your cavalry ended altogether.
Wow.
So that, like I said, for those who might be in New York, that would probably be close. Now they're trying to change the monument. Basically, it was a plaque embedded inside of a stone rock, and they're trying to now erect a monument that is basically similar to a lot of the other monuments now, is with actually a soldier on the back of a horse.
Okay.
All right.
I've been to West Point. There's a few field trips I've been. We visited West Point. It's very nice up there. And when I went, I had no clue about Henry O. Flipper. So now I'm looking forward to going back, and I'm going with the purpose now.
Oh, yeah. Actually, and it was something that I didn't even know until a couple of years back, now probably like 4 years. One of my members, you know, in the job that he does, he happened to have ran up there, and he met this actual one of the Buffalo Soldiers who served on the base. He has since retired. He became a deputy sheriff in the area, but he was still affiliated with the base. They actually formed the Buffalo Soldiers of West Point Association, he met and talked to the guy, and the guy explained and said, hey, you realize that we've been holding a ceremony during Labor Day weekend each year, and I think then it was like the 48th anniversary. Last year we celebrated, we participated for the past 3 years. We invited other motorcycle clubs and people who was unaware about this to come up there to West Point Labor Day weekend. We know it's like the last weekend before most of schools start and everybody's trying to get stuff. It's like, look, this is a ceremony that's been going on. We still have a few live Buffalo Soldiers and Tuskegee Airmen. They usually get on it together up there. They hold it. Like I said, last year was the 50th anniversary. It was a milestone year for them, anniversary type deal. They're honoring the Buffalo Soldiers, and what they wind up doing is they usually, for the most part, they usually have their keynote speakers are usually black officers that have either served at West Point themselves or even came up out of the way, but have made it up through the ranks, you know, significant, you know, doings, what they're doing. And they would give a speech. It's a beautiful ceremony that they do each year, and it's always held Labor Day weekend up there.
So if we want to find out more information, just Google West Point Labor Day Buffalo Soldiers.
You can actually Google Buffalo Soldiers of West Point.
Okay. Well, I'm going to definitely try to get up there. Now for Memorial Day, which is only a few days away this Monday, what do you have going on? Any ceremonies?
Well, actually, as part of my motorcycle club, which is the National Association of Buffalo Soldiers and Troopers Motorcycle Club, there's three chapters actually now in the state of Maryland. The mother chapter actually holds what they call a Buffalo Thunder Run. It runs in conjunction of Rolling Thunder, which basically was made up of Vietnam vets that does their rally down in D.C. But for the Buffalo Soldiers' point of view, there's a monument in the D.C. area, not too far from the Capitol and all of the other monuments down that way, which is called, that it was erected as the African American Civil War Monument.
Right.
And what we wind up doing, well, what they actually do is they host a wreath laying ceremony at the monument, having all the local clubs, whether, you know, doesn't matter what they are, the clubs are, and we all get a police escorted ride out of Maryland into D.C. to this monument where we host a wreath laying ceremony, as I said. We have prominent speakers, whatnot. There's basically military base, have military background that either served or, you know, they made up, you know, chain of ladder some type of way, admirals, whether they be generals, whatnot, 4 stars or whatnot. But we have these people come, they do. And every now and then we might have a special treat as far as, like, singing tributes to the African Americans, whatnot, who served during the Civil War, or, you know, reenactments as well, as far as period dress at a time, and just, you know, it's a good thing that ceremony itself, both the West Point and this particular one, probably lasts no more than an hour.
Wonderful. That sounds like something people should look into attending if they're in the area, especially with a family reunion. If you're part of a family reunion in the West Point area or the Maryland area, mark it on your calendar as something that you should do with your family. I had to ask you a question about Annapolis. What comes to mind when I say Annapolis to you?
Navy.
Right. Tell the audience more about Annapolis and the history of Annapolis.
Well, myself, seeing I was a regular recruit and not commissioned, Annapolis is basically the Navy's military academy, whatnot, for their officers and all. Not only does the Navy, but also Marines as well, get to serve and be trained there. And it's like it's one of the best units. I mean, you get an all-around training, whereas the Army might be, you might be, you know, a specialist in one particular area, Air Force, one particular area, Marines, more or less, you know, we know they're a fighting machine. But as far as the Navy, it's like no matter what your specialty might be, you get rounded so that when you come out from their academy, you do your time in the service as a commissioned officer, you come out, it's like the world is at your feet almost. It's like you build skills for every area, engineering, computer, administration type deal. So it's like for a person that's leaving from the, you know, graduating from that, say, hey, my resume is here already. All I need to do, know, figure out is where I want to apply it.
I learned about Annapolis through another research project I was involved in, and the school was called Old Iron. Ironside. Old Ironside. Have you ever heard of them?
No, I haven't.
Okay, that was the name of the ship. And he manned, and he was invincible, sort of saying they called it Old Ironside. But, yeah, I heard that it's a great place. The last question I wanted to ask you, tell the audience how we met, and does that happen often? How the interaction that you and I had, and, you know, tell the audience exactly where we met, circumstances, and everything.
Well, actually, we met in October of 2011. And it was at the pre-opening of the Martin Luther King Monument down in D.C. The few guys who I left, we wanted to go to the monument and see it for ourselves up front before the crowd. So we actually showed up the night before the opening, where it was actually open to the public. You know, there's no gates, no fences, no lines, whatnot. It was open. We happened to have showed up that night, and at that point, I was wearing my colors, whatnot. Not sure if I was probably down there as New Jersey Buffalo Soldiers, but I had a few members from my Henry O. Flipper clan as well, and I actually was taking pictures of them, seeing that most people don't really take pictures of me. And Leslie happened to come up and saw the Buffalo Soldiers, and she inquired about it and what we were about and what do we do and why we actually was there. And more or less like yourself, I believe, you was there for the opening of the monument, you know, to pay tribute to Martin Luther King himself, whatnot. You know, and seeing that we all rode bikes, it's like, we better get in there now because we don't know how far away we're going to have to ride our bikes and park out of the way in order to get to the monument. So let's take advantage now where we can see it, we can walk around, we can touch it, we can feel it, and give it praise and thank it for coming into existence.
Well, I took some pictures of you. I don't know if you know, you're speaking to Leslie.
Yeah.
I am Leslie.
But I wasn't sure. No, did you take? Well, like I said, I'm not sure. Pictures were taken, because usually, since I don't really have cameras, somebody give me their camera. Well, take a picture. Fine, I'll take a picture of you more.
Well, I took a picture of you. A lot of them came out too dark because it was at night. But
yeah.
We did. I had a ball. And I'm just wondering, you know, you seem like a history buff. Is it true to call you a history buff?
Not really. My thing is, if I need to know something or want to learn something, more or less, I'm going to find out all the information I can and try to make sure that I don't miss too much out. I'm not going to say I'm going to know everything or will get everything, you know, down pat, whether I got date time, you know, dates and the time. It's like I'll have a general knowledge, and if I need to get in depth, I will take that time.
When I say history buff, I mean that you have a love for history, not that you remember everything about it, but you do love it.
I'm coming into it now. I was a late bloomer.
Okay.
Now I found something of interest that I want to learn about.
Well, that's wonderful. That's a great thing. And as a child, what was your main interest? Are there any family members that you remember that taught history to you?
I'm not going to say really off. My family, I grew up in a religious family, more or less. Both my parents, mother and father, was actually ordained ministers. Mm-hmm. And it's their history, more or less, was the history of Christ himself. Mm-hmm. Seeing that they was preachers, and this is what they did from the time that I was born, and that's basically what I knew of them. I knew for a fact that my father himself, you know, not really talking about his family, but when I saw his side of the family, they are more or less Native American. You know, my mother actually, I know her family side was actually was slaves, whatnot. You know, she coming from North Carolina, my father was out of South Carolina, and that's basically about the history I got. And like I said, the schooling that I got about history, American history, and, you know, you might get Frederick Douglass from time to time, Harriet Tubman, you know, it's a little brief, and that was it. And then it went on to the rest of American History Month.
Right. Now, do you have any children?
Yes, I do. I actually have three. One is still in college. He's got another year to go before he's out. My other two actually have kids of their own.
And what do you think about what you're doing with this Buffalo Soldiers and this motorcycle club? And
well, actually, my daughter, actually all three of my kids, I basically was trying to teach them to ride. My son, I let him, you know, he's a fireman himself, so it's like, stay away from the bike because we need you to protect the lives of the fire. So I looked at it, you're still serving and you're honoring by making sure you rescue lives.
Right.
Okay. Now, my daughter, actually, she's into, like, health insurance. And I'm like, okay, you providing their health, whatnot, coverage and all, so that they're being taken care of. And I learned that my youngest son, following my step, he now wants to join, is talking about going to the service after he finishes college as a commissioned officer.
Now, what did they say about the Buffalo Soldiers when you told them who they were?
They get to see it, and they even get to come to our events. I would invite them time to events, whatnot, and I make sure they got the same information that I have. It's like, you want to know more? I said, I'll be willing to do it. You know, you want me to go to your kid's school and teach about it? I can do it, or if you want to do it, I can give you information enough, you know, so that it's not going to knock you out, and they will get to learn and absorb some of this as well. And they're more or less is like, you know, this is a good thing considering that, you know, myself, you know, like I said, I was in the Navy. I just did miss having to go to Vietnam myself, but I was still in the service when the Persian Gulf actually broke out, and that thing was, you know, that, you know, with the way the lifestyle, you know, of blacks here in America now, maybe it's time for you to just say, come on out and be home with the rest of us. So I'm like, I said, all right, I'll be home with y'all. You know, this way we'll act as a family and still honor, you know, our forefathers.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I had a great time listening to you. My sheets of paper are full with information, and that's an indication that it was a great show. So I want to thank you again and wish you a festive, fun-filled outing this weekend as we celebrate Memorial Day.
Thank you very much, and it was nice being on your show, Leslie.
All righty.
You have a good evening now.
Bye-bye.
Buffalo Soldier,